Thank you, everybody, and I'm really thrilled to be here. This is my first time at the American Public Health Association meeting, so it's very exciting. As Joel mentioned, today I'm going to tell the story about how we as the Veterans Health Administration, a large federal agency, implemented our healthy diet guidelines. Let's see here. That's just my disclosure. And just as a way of background, for those of you that didn't realize it, but the Veterans Health Affairs is the largest health care system in the nation, and we serve over almost 9 million veterans a year. And one of the things we realize is our veterans have a very high incidence of preventable disease. About a quarter of our veterans have diabetes. About 36% have high blood pressure. And we've done assessments of the incidence of overweight and obesity in that 78%. So we really felt that within our population there was a high need for a consistent, healthy food service operation that they could have available at any VA facility. We also have VA facilities in every state of the Union, including Puerto Rico. So as far as our healthcare food service operations, within the VA we have two types of operations. We have our nutrition and food services, which primarily does patient meals. And then we also have the Veterans Canteen Service, which does our employee and outpatient cafeterias, and they do all of our vending programs. These two food service operations are co-located at most of our facilities, and they share a common national prime vendor. A little bit about nutrition and food service. We have 132 locations. We serve about 37 million meals a year. That's about 105,000 per day. We do inpatient care, we do select outpatient, we do domiciliaries, we do long-term care, acute care, so we have a large patient population. We are funded through appropriated dollars as part of the VA budget. The Veterans Canteen Service is a separate organization. They are non-appropriated, and they are self-supporting, and they're managed out of a headquarters in St. Louis, Missouri. And the Veterans Canteen Service does all of our cafeterias for outpatients and for staff. We have 196, they call them Patriot Cafes. And they do all of our vending machines, which are almost 35,000 throughout our sites. So how did our journey begin? So back in 2009, we were implementing a big weight management program in the VA called MOVE, because we were trying to tackle our incidence of obesity and overweight among the veteran population. We were also partnering with Health and Human Services on what we called our Healthier U.S. Veterans Program to try to create healthy eating, healthy lifestyles, healthy activity. And we were also, one of our VA strategic initiatives was promote health within our VA, the community, and the nation. And we were looking at the cost of this long-term chronic disease among our veteran population. And we were able to see that we had over 3 million veterans, and this was back in 2009, who had either heart disease, high blood pressure, or hypertension. And we were spending, back in 2009, over $2 billion on just caring for those three types of disease. So we felt this was the opportunity we had to support our veterans and to try to promote health and well-being by offering healthy food choices within our system. So how did we begin? We began by building our team. We put together a group of about 10 or 15 of our colleagues from across the country. We tried to get representatives from every state, well, not every state, but regions, so that we got a cross-representation. We included Veterans Canteen Service staff, and we also tried to look at different size facilities, because in the VA we have urban and rural, we have large facilities and smaller facilities. So we built a team. And we decided, let's see where we are now as far as our nutrition components that we serve to our veterans. And so we did a survey of our nutrition and food service operations. And we found that there was wide variability. Different areas were doing different things. And here are some of the results. We found that only about 48% were doing trans fat-free frying. We found that only about 65% were serving five or more vegetables a day. And we did, which was encouraging, we found that many of them, or 58%, had plans to improve their menu. And we also learned that the Veterans Canteen Service was looking at a nutrition labeling program. So what we did is our team got together and we were saying, now what should our goals be for establishing our national guidelines? And the first thing we thought of is we really wanted them to be based on national standards. We reviewed the literature, and we were trying to decide what was important to our veteran population. We also wanted our guidelines to be a stepwise and regionally acceptable approach, because we did realize that our veterans in Mississippi might be different than our veterans in California, and so on. And we also wanted, really the real goal for our program was we wanted to make sure that healthy choices were available wherever they were. And also there was a big initiative in the VA to support what we call our GEMS program, which stands for our Green Environmental Strategies program. And we wanted to make sure that those aspects and the whole sustainability piece was part of our guidelines. And of course our far-reaching goals were wanted to have an impact. We wanted to be able to improve the health of our veterans, our staff, and our customers. We were hoping to enhance our customer satisfaction with the whole VA food system. And of course we wanted to promote and support national initiatives to promote healthy eating. And at this time too, the VA was going through a cultural transformation. We were trying to take the journey to get our veterans to become active members of their health care and to be empowered to make healthy choices. So those were our primary goals. So when we began to devise our guidelines, being a group of dietitians mainly, we weren't completely, we thought we wanted to start with the weekly nutrient average goals. So that was the first component. We established what should be the average weekly goals for each key nutrient. We looked at calorie, fat, sodium, carbohydrate, and so on. We also added a category for beverage, and then we added a category for our GEMS, or our green initiatives, or sustainability. And our second component was menu planning guidelines. And with the guidelines, we wanted these to be the items that, actually the description of the foods that they should be available with every meal. And these were the components that we felt needed to be mandatory. And then our third component of our guidelines were implementation strategies. And the implementation strategies varied because, I don't know if I mentioned earlier, I think I forgot to, but across the VA, we have different styles of service. We have cafeteria, dining room, tray service, vending. Some places are pretty heavily convenient. Some places are cooking from scratch. So we felt like implementation strategies would vary based on the type of operation they had. So the first and the third category were goals or recommendations, and the middle category was what we considered our mandatory component. And this is just to give you an example of what our guidelines would look like. So this is, I just pulled out the FAT guideline. So you can see there's our weekly nutrient average goal that we recommended, the guidelines component or the mandatory component, and then some examples of implementation strategies. So our next step was to put this all together in a national directive, and we devised our directive in 2009. It was actually signed off in 2010, and we gave all of our sites a year to implement their healthy diets. It was signed by our Undersecretary for Health at the time. And when we implemented, we provided ongoing training to all of our sites. And a big effort was put to collaborating with our national prime vendor, because in order to make these significant changes in our menus, we did need to make sure we could purchase the products that would meet our nutritional guidelines. And then we decided, well, how would we track our progress with implementation? So we have an annual report that we do once a year in our Nutrition and Food Services Department, and we decided we would track our progress through that. So then, as the national directive was rolled out, what was included? As I mentioned before, the main point was that healthy foods must be an option, and that was our mandatory component when you saw how our guidelines were described. Also, we really recommended that sites combine implementation with a promotion program, because we knew that this is a new style of eating. We knew our veterans weren't necessarily used to eating this way, and we felt it was essential that we promote why we were doing this and why it was important. We also wanted our leaders to be able to connect the value of the healthy food, because there might be some small cost impact with the implementation of these changes. And also, we wanted to increase everyone's awareness of the connection between health and food. And some of our ideas here were to do farmers markets, to do promotional events, Nutrition Month events, Food Day events, do sampling and tasting. We had some sites with gardens, but we felt doing more gardens would help make that connection between our veteran patients and food and growing and health. And we also thought with our veteran population that it would help if they actually were involved personally in the food process. So we developed food demos and healthy teaching kitchens where the veterans actually learned how to do their own preparation, how to or observed and try, got to sample new and healthier foods. So as far as local implementation, it varied kind of across the VA depending on where sites were. And I just wanted to share in the Northern California region, when we implemented, we were a little concerned that our veterans weren't used to eating this way, and would they try this food, would they be willing to eat it? So we did a survey of our veterans in Northern California. We surveyed veterans from four different sites. We talked to 140 of them, and we really asked them questions about their food habits, their food preferences, and their willingness to try new foods and their thoughts about healthy food. And what we found is 69% of them thought eating healthy was important, but when we asked them about their willingness to try new foods, only 46% said they would be willing to try new foods. 16% they said they would be somewhat willing. And when we asked them what would encourage them to try these new foods, they said, well, first off, if it looks good, I'll try it. If it tastes good, I'll keep eating it. And they felt like they really wanted to have more familiar foods, foods like grandma used to cook, foods that they recognized and understood. So we took this information, and what we did is we did what we call our menu makeover. And with the menu makeover, we tried to create a look at all of our recipes, see how we were preparing them, look at the ingredients, switch the less healthy to the more healthy ingredients. And an example here would be we made our marinara sauce with ground turkey instead of ground beef, a nice way to change the fat profile of the meat. We looked at a lot of our protein foods and we tried to do combination meals. We added stir fries, we added pasta primaveras with lots of vegetables and whole grain pasta, and those were very popular items. We added a lot of healthy, hearty vegetable soups and salads, and we used a lot of fresh, colorful ingredients. Made a big difference. The veterans loved the fresh seasonal fruit that they got. And we did a lot of promotional activities, a lot of educational events. We would try to promote what's healthy. Some of the pictures you see there is in our veterans canteen service. They tried to promote things with signage, with point of sale information. They tried to do samplings and tastings so that the veterans would try it and then they say, oh, this is good, we'll buy this. So now it's been about 5 years. I just thought I'd briefly show some of the outcomes. Since implementing our healthy diet guidelines, we've eliminated synthetic trans fat from our deep fat frying at all of our facilities. We've been able to decrease our sodium levels by 21%. We're not quite at our goal yet, but we're moving there. We have gone back to from scratch cooking at about 19% of our facilities. Or we've seen an increase of 19%. And this really is an ideal solution. Of course, you have the additional labor costs and you need the space and the equipment for this, so it's not a solution for all sites. And a big portion of our success is that we work very, very closely with our national prime vendor. We have brought in multiple new products that are lower sodium, lower fat, and also high fiber. And really, we were able to sit down and have the dialogue with our vendors. They would bring in manufacturers, and as long as we had the purchasing power, we would buy the product, they would bring it in. I was concerned, and a lot of my colleagues, that patient satisfaction would decline. It did not. Actually, patient satisfaction in the last 5 years has gone up, though I can't say it's gone up because of our healthy diet guidelines, but at least we can say it has not gone down. We now have a 34% increase in the amount of VA sites that has farmers markets. And this is part of our whole cultural transformation goal. We really wanted to help our veterans make the connection between food and health and farming and growing our own food. Now we have 72% of our VA sites that have food demos and healthy teaching kitchens. This is where the veterans actually are involved in learning how to cook and learning how to prepare foods and sampling foods that many of them have never tried. A lot of our veterans in our healthy teaching programs have never tried a papaya before, or even squash. Not squash so much as, but like some of the greens like kale. So it's a really good way to expose them, and then once people try it, they like it. In our cafeteria, we do have, and I didn't get my updated slide in there, but our Veterans Canteen Service started a food labeling program called Smart Choices, and it's a small little icon. You'll see it on the next slide. And what they do is any food that's labeled with a smart choice meets our VHA Healthy Diet Guidelines, and they label that in the cafeterias. They label that on the menus, and that's part of their program. They have little brochures that describe their Smart Choice program. We also have menu boards, and you can see this example here. We label items as healthy heart, high fiber. We try to provide nutrition messages as part of the menu boards. This shows the Veterans Canteen vending program, and here you can see their Smart Choices label. So they put this little icon person at the top, and then anything that's been identified as a Smart Choice product has that little label at the site. And what we have done in the past year, and I thought this was an interesting example, is we've moved all of our calorie-free and waters to the top of our vending machines for beverages, and the Veterans Canteen Service has seen an increase in water sales as they did that. So I do think that shows how placement does have an impact. We now have 20% of our VA sites that have veteran-managed gardens. Again, this helps build that culture and that connection between food and health. So what have we learned from here? I think what we've learned is one of our big challenges is selling healthy food. It's not good enough to just offer it, but you really have to encourage people to buy it. You have to promote it with promotional events or promotional signage. I really think sampling and tasting is a great idea. If you think about it, when you go to those stores that have the food samples, you always take them, right? You try them out and then, oh, this is good, you buy it. So it's a great way to promote the product or promote what you want. I would say another big challenge for us is the flavoring of your menu items without the use of salt or using less salt. It's really hard, especially if you use prepackaged items, because a lot of those have sodium in it. So we've been working with a lot of manufacturers, and every time we meet with them, we say, can't you get the sodium lower? Can't you lower it? And just, I think the more united the message is from everybody, they're going to get it. But then you got to buy their product, because if you don't buy it, then they'll stop producing it. The other thing that we found helps with the salt is to use more spice, little hot sauce or a little chili powder, black pepper, that really seems to help. Another challenge is presentation and eye appeal. It really has to look good, or the veterans won't try it, or your customers won't try it. Also, where you put it in the line, if you put it as the first thing they see when they come through and it's very appealing, chances are more likely that they'll take it. Providing value to encourage selection. What our Veterans Canteen Service is, they have a bundle. They call it their Cal Smart. And if you buy the entree and the vegetable, they throw in the water or the calorie-free beverage. So that's a way to encourage people to buy the healthy choice. And of course, promoting at point of sale, like with those Smart Choice icons that I showed you earlier, that will help encourage selection. Also, I think it's important to think about when you're implementing guidelines or changes within your food service operation, is the people that implement it are your staff. And it's really a big change for them in the way they've always done things. And I think the challenge is to get them involved in the process. What we tried to do is we tried to have them do tastings and samplings, have them bring in recipes, because if they are part of it and appreciate what you're doing, they are sometimes your best ambassadors with everybody else. So really getting them excited as well. And then finally, managing the costs. I know some of these products can be more expensive. So some of the ways that we've managed costs is, if you look at your high-cost items on the menu, they're usually your protein foods. So you can use smaller amounts, supplemented with grains and vegetables. You can look at lower-cost proteins to get the higher nutritional value. Another thing that's important is local and seasonal, because if you are in a community that has gardens and farmers, if you shop around, you can a lot of times get very good prices. So don't stick with the same menu year-round, but change it for the seasonal local variations. And then finally, I think, looking at how you procure your foods, because if sites can join in with a partner with other groups and manage your purchasing power, you can negotiate at a better cost for the foods that you buy. So that's the conclusion of our program. I would say what we've found is really making the healthy choice, the easy choice, is the best way to be successful. And we have room to grow, and we're continuing to move forward in our efforts to improve the health of our nation's veterans. Thank you.